longtime community member of Port Townsend and an advocate for public health awareness and promotion. And Lynn is also a member of KPTZ's Virus Watch and Emergency Response Team. We're here on alternate Fridays, right around 12:15 or so, and we bring you discussion and updates surrounding the pandemic and review some of the insights and journey of discovery surrounding COVID-19. Lynn Sorensen, welcome again to Through Science to Health. Okay. Well, lots going on this week, eh? I mean, I would say, you know, usually I just sort of give a recap of what's happening in the nation and the world. I might make that reasonably short today, but it's important that all the stops are out right now with the Biden administration.
Yeah, it's been quite a week.
Yeah, getting things underway. Testing wristbands are in at the White House. Mask wearing is mandatory. Desks are socially distanced. And the there are a lot of things happening around. Oh, Fauci. Dr. Fauci is unleashed.
They took him off his leash.
And so that's really true that the nation's leading infectious diseases expert never really went away, but after enduring nearly a year of darts and undermining comments from former president, Fauci now speaks with the authority of the White House again, which is very liberating, not only to the nation, but also to him. And so that's good news. The push to vaccinate Americans against the virus is hitting a roadblock, however. Several states, including New York and Florida, are running out of vaccine. And in Washington, more than 10,000 people have appointments at the University of Washington's Medicine's vaccine clinics as the state starts phase 1B of the vaccine rollout. But we will be talking more about what that means for us here in Jefferson County, and you have a report coming up about that. Let's see. Well, of course, the postponed Tokyo Olympics are scheduled to open in just 6 months, and local organizers and the International Olympic Committee say they will go ahead on July 23rd, but that's still unclear how this will happen with virus cases surging in Tokyo and elsewhere in the globe. I think I could talk about, there's a couple of competing documentaries about the Wuhan situation early on, celebrating the frontline people there. One of them is more state-oriented, and the other one was produced by a activist. So the activist documentary, of course, was declined by the state, and I would imagine that will be shown elsewhere in the world. So we'll see. We'll keep ourselves dialed into that to see what's happening. Let's see. Oh, well, I heard an interesting conversation, and this might be a good segue into Dr. Locke's report. Dr. Bob Wachter of University of California, San Francisco. Mutations happen in a virus, but these COVID variants that are happening right now become much more infectious and transmissible in nature, and even more of an example of the need to get the vaccine out as rapidly as possible. And the caveat right now is not to become desensitized to the fact that we're dealing with substantially more than one 9/11 every day.
And as far as cases and people dying.
Katrina as well, that caused 1,500 deaths by comparison. And we considered that a tragedy. So whatever it takes for the administration to hit that reset button and get on with whatever positive means it takes to encourage a fatigued population to continue their cautionary behaviors as we face the way to expedite mass vaccinations is really important. We'll talk a little bit about Biden's agenda later, but We did have a pretty extensive meeting with our county health officer, Dr. Locke. And Lynn, why don't you give us a recap of what went down there?
Yeah. I re-listened to Dr. Locke's presentation, and that's anyone can do that on the KPTZ website. It's on the homepage. You can just click on the audio and re-listen to Dr. Locke from the what was a Tuesday report this week, but it'll be usually on Mondays. And he says that in Washington, even though we've had a recent spike, we're actually down 29% from our most recent peak. And here in Jefferson County, we've had we have a total of about 277 cases. This is as of yesterday. And it, too, has shown that we are dropping number of cases per week, as we had 22 the first week, 14 in the second week, and only 5 this past week. So we're hoping that's a trend. We're also, there are vaccination clinics. The drive-in clinics are happening, and I think there were about 300 in line yesterday, and they're averaging about 250 vaccinations a day. And also, I heard a report this morning through the Board of Health that Jefferson Healthcare itself has 75% of its staff vaccinated, which is wonderful. I think that's really shows their determination and, you know, getting it done. And the only thing that's really holding us back is the amount of vaccine that we're getting, because we're not saving it for the second doses. We're giving as many people their first doses as possible, but the state gets a certain allotment per week, and only the state knows how much they are getting, and then they distribute it throughout the whole state. So it's going to be a flux of how much we get per week, and I'm not sure, I don't have any accurate numbers on that, but still, there are ways to sign up for your vaccinations and the new tiers and groupings that people are put in because of age or other medical conditions have gotten very complicated. The state came out with some new guidelines, and per Dr. Locke, he says that this just kind of makes it even harder to understand, and they're still working towards making a simple message to go out to the communities as to who's eligible and also how to sign up for your vaccination. And I think it's recommended that people go through the Jefferson Healthcare website as far as getting appointments. And there will be, I mean, no one's going to be left out. It's just going to take some time and organization to get get these things all set up and people to get the vaccine in their arms. But they're really working hard at trying to get it done as best they can.
I might add that the person that is charged with the logistics of what group of community members will be next for the vaccine and all of that is Dr. Mattern, Dr. Over at Joe Mattern over at Jefferson Healthcare. And we had quite an extensive conversation with him about that and about the preparations that were in the works, about they're trying to responsibly tier the issuance of the vaccine to our population. And his one piece of advice was a really important piece of advice, is for us not to get all tied in knots or anxious about this. He's got a whole cadre of staff that are figuring out the best ways to notify people that they are next in line for the vaccine. I think it's important for us to mention that. And then also, we may be in touch with Dr. Mattern on a regular basis through Science to Health until things get underway.
Right. So. It'll be interesting to get his perspective of how it's going if we do talk to him in a couple weeks, because, like I said, it takes time for this to be rolled out, and everybody's trying to do their best. And I just wanted to put a plea out to people that even if you are vaccinated, you still need to follow all the measures such as wearing a mask and keeping socially distanced, et cetera, because while the vaccine is 95% effective, and again, you have to get both vaccines to get that protection, 1 in 20 can still become infected. And they're saying they don't know if, even if you're vaccinated, if you can pass on the virus. That's definitely being studied, but there's no exact answer on that yet. So while vaccination is very good, and we need to get as many people as we can vaccinated, you still need to follow all the other measures, and that's going to be true probably into the summer or maybe even into the fall. So we're not out of the woods, and we still need to keep up our protocols.
The Biden administration agenda reflects that. You know, masks on all public transportation and in all federal buildings, opening the full stops to obtaining a PPE and supplemental vaccine supplies, unraveling the bottlenecks in a worldwide approach to the World Health Organization is really important for the equitable distribution of vaccines once we have more online. And do the best we can to await the approval of other vaccines that are being developed. And they're in the pipeline. They will come, but we need to be patient. Need to look beyond Biden's promise of 100,000 doses over the next 100 days. We need to make sure that the vaccine also protects against infection and spread before we let up our guard. And towards your remarks about how important it is to continue maintaining these safety protocols as we get through the next stage, which is a really important stage in protecting ourselves and protecting our loved ones.
There are about 1,000 patients in Washington State that are hospitalized for COVID, and 15% of them are on ventilators. So it's still a very, very serious disease, and people are, you know, what they estimate that will be up to 500,000 people will have died from it. I'm not sure if that's in the next month or this quarter, but I mean, 400,000 are already have passed from the COVID, and the numbers are going to keep piling up as far as the numbers that have died, just because there's so much virus out there. And so everyone has to maintain, you know, careful movements and actions. And it's just important that we don't let up. And that's a message that we've been putting out since the beginning, is that, yes, we're all tired of this, but our best way of combating it is to maintain our mitigation measures.
Yeah, we just don't want to get numb to what we're being confronted with every day. We thought it was a big deal when 3,000 people died in 9/11, but when you have one 9/11 happening every day, 9/11 plus, you know, approaching 4,000 deaths every day, that's not something that we should get fatigued about. That should really keep our vigilance and our desire to respect and love our fellow man, and not only in the nation and the world, but in our community here in Port Townsend.
Right. Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about the process for submitting questions for
yes.
Dr. Locke
yes.
on his weekly updates, because this was also brought up. I listened to the Board of Health meeting, and this was also brought up by Kate Dean at the update, is that the community kind of has to, a lot of questions are coming in through KPTZ's website, and they are gone through, they're read, they're put into certain categories now because Dr. Locke only has so much time at the update. We don't want you to stop sending your questions into KPTZ, but we're trying to get the questions to Dr. Locke earlier so he has time to kind of categorize them and speak to them in grouping. So please don't stop sending your questions, but just realize that your specific question might not be answered as he's really is inundated with all his other work, plus is being very responsive to the community questions that are coming in.
Yeah, and once again, that goes back to trusting in not only our county health officer in being on top of everything, but all and staff being on top of everything, but also Jefferson Healthcare being, we don't want to preoccupy our staff over Jefferson Healthcare with questions that will be resolved soon, and important for people to remember that everything's in the process. One last thing, I think. We have about 30 seconds left, so I know that there'll be an article by Case Koff coming out in the Leader next week. Is that correct?
Yeah. He's going to be working on a perspective commentary about the process of the vaccinations and also Jefferson Healthcare's great assistance in this, and look forward to reading about it.
Well, as usual, Lynn, time flew. Thanks for joining me with another edition of Through Science to Health. This is Chris Bricker, and it's been Lynn Sorensen, RN retired, longtime community member of Port Townsend and advocate for public health awareness and promotion. Thanks, Lynn, and until 2 weeks from today, we'll have some more news, so stay tuned, folks.
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.